Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Oh yes, welcome ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast for July 18th, 2012. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. I'm so glad you're here today. I have a great program planned for you. We're going to be talking about success, the psychology of success. What are the very, very common barriers that will get in our way from achieving the things that we want to? Yes, achieving the things that we want. I think you know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I think we've all been there. But why? Why do these barriers get in the way? What do we do to prevent our success? And then what are some very important, easy to do, quick tips that can help you on your road to achieving what you really want? So we're going to be focusing today on success. Got some great health news as well in the second half of the program. Oh, you're going to want to stick around. Parents, oh, let me tell you, this is a story that you're not going to want to miss about raising our kids. Oh yes, the latest research. And also, how about this? Anxiety, stress can age you. It can age us so much faster than we originally thought. So do stick around. Some great news. We'll do some headlines. And hey, it's going to be a great podcast. So I'm really glad that you're here. Now, success. We all want it, right? We want to achieve. We have dreams for ourselves and hopes and goals. But somewhere along the way, well, life happens. And not just life happens, but sometimes, despite how much we want that success, how much those goals and dreams mean to us, we put barriers in our way. We have stumbling blocks that prevent us from moving forward in our dreams and our hopes. So why don't we achieve what we want, especially things that are so important to us, our dreams and our goals? What holds us back? And really, there aren't that many things. As I've spent time researching this over the years and specifically for this show, it really clusters around just a few reasons that makes the difference between success and failure for all of us. For all of us. So, what are the biggest reasons people don't take action? Well, first on the list, and I don't think it's really hard to understand, it is the fear of failure. And really here, when we talk about failure, we have to realize that the difference between success, moving through those adversities, and being knocked down by them is the perception of what failure means. The difference between those who are successful and not, at least that I've been able to understand over the years, is that there are a group of people who will embrace the failure as something that is a learning moment. What have I done that didn't get me to where I was? Okay, I made a mistake. I won't do that again. And those who get knocked down by it. Ugh, I failed. I guess I'm never meant to succeed. I'm never going to try that again. Those are big differences in perception. But that perception is a choice. Now, we're all shaped by our life's experience and how we were raised and how we were validated or knocked down. So I don't mean to minimize what someone has gone through in their lives. But this is a very important point. Success is determined by how we embrace failure. If we see it as something that is a learning moment, it can't knock us down. It can inspire us. One of my favorite quotes in the entire world, is probably my favorite quote in the world, comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. But he said, "Every wall is a door." Think about that. Every wall is a door. That really says it about how we embrace failure. If we look at it as something we have to change, a gift, a learning moment on the road to our success, well, failure, my friends, can't be the end of our dreams, okay? Failure simply is a signal that we have to do something different. It absolutely is not the end of the journey. It only is if it's perceived in that way. This is so important. Make sure to take time to think about how you react to failure. Are you one of the people that says, okay, that's something I've got to change? Or are you one of those that says, ugh, I guess I couldn't do it. I guess that's the end of this dream. You can change the way you deal with failure. And in that, you'll pleasantly see that you'll change the way you'll have to deal with success. Now, the second reason that people might not take action is this feeling of comfort. People don't want to go outside of their comfort zone. They like it. We all do. Don't get me wrong. Comfort is great, but it can be stifling and it can be boring. We have to challenge ourselves, do things that we realize make us uncomfortable. In fact, when I treat people for anxiety disorders, part of the barriers, part of the therapy is to go out and challenge that which makes you nervous. It is the fear, that anticipation, that is so much worse than the actual anxiety itself. We always have to face those fears. We must get out of that comfort zone. And I am reminded of the quote by Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, "Do one thing every day that scares you." That is how we get out of our comfort zone and on to the business of achieving our goals and our dreams. Now, a third barrier to our success and a reason that people don't take action is low self-esteem. I realize that self-esteem is a very, very complex issue. It involves everything that the individual has experienced in their lives, their childhood history, the relationship with their parents, their current history, all of that. I don't mean to minimize that part. But oftentimes, there is this unconscious move based on low self-esteem. We see it when people follow others because oftentimes they may not find any value in themselves. They can accept that others might be successful in life, but not them. That's why they don't even try to take action. And I have fallen prey to that myself, ladies and gentlemen. Just because I'm a psychiatrist doesn't mean that there aren't vulnerabilities there as well for myself. And I have to fight that all the time. But that is a huge reason why people don't believe that they will accomplish very much. But you have to realize, and I hope that this show begins to empower you, because I don't say that you are that powerful as a hook or as a tagline that sounds cool for the show. I really believe it. The power and the strength that is in each individual, each and every one of you, as evidenced by everything that they continue to do in their lives to carve out a life, shows the strength that is there. Take time to focus on that. Take time to investigate why your self-esteem may be where it's at. How do you improve it? Who can help you? Get help if you need to, just to see that it's changeable. It really is. This is a moving target, and our self-esteem can be propped up. We may need people to help us, a support system, friends, a therapist, but it is ever-changing, and it can change for you as well. Now, another barrier to action is a lack of determination, and I can't emphasize this enough. Study after study after study has shown that to achieve success, the most important variable is determination and grit, strength, perseverance. That's it. It trumps intelligence. It really does. It trumps superior creativity. Perseverance. The idea that no matter what, you are going to see something through. It is the idea that if I have a failure, I will learn from it. I am determined and I am going to see this through no matter what, because I believe in this and myself. That is what must be focused on. You can't think about A, I'm not intelligent enough. B, I'm not creative enough. C, it's already been done. No, stop those thoughts right there. They're just barriers that we create. Put in the time and the effort, the determination and that perseverance. It is one of the most important, if not the most important reason as to why people don't reach their goals. There's an Indian proverb that states, life is not a continuum of pleasant choices, but of inevitable problems that call for strength, determination, and hard work. Determination is the most important principle in achieving success. And in that, it is one of the biggest reasons why people don't achieve their goals and reach their hopes and their dreams. Determination. Remember that. And finally, one of the biggest reasons that people do not take action is procrastination. We've all been there. But I love this quote on procrastination. Procrastination is the grave in which opportunity is buried. Now, my friends, did you know that procrastination comes in all different shapes, sizes, and flavors? Oh, yeah. You've got to monitor yourself for the tendency to procrastinate. For example, did you realize that perfectionism, this need for things to be perfect, oftentimes is a diversion, a defense mechanism, a means by which to delay doing something? If I don't have it perfect, if I don't have it just right, I can't move on to the next step. Well, success doesn't work that way. It is taking action, not waiting until everything is lined up, but just plowing forward towards that goal, taking the adversity that comes in stride and not relying on everything needing to be perfect that determines success. So really, monitoring yourself for your tendency to procrastinate is critical here. Okay, so by now you're probably saying, well, thanks, Radio Boy. I appreciate you telling me all of my faults and how I can't take action. What do I do about it? Well, it's not as hard as you think. There are simple steps that you can take that can be profound. For example, there is an unbelievably beautiful website called the Positivity Blog. I can't recommend it more. And this comes from the creator of the Positivity Blog entitled 10 Tips to Take Action. And they are as follows. Number one, reconnect with the present moment. A lot of times what we will do is focus too much either on the past or worry too much about the future and all of our obligations. Whether it's focusing back on your list or taking a moment to meditate, focus on the present moment and what has to happen next. Number two, be accountable to others. It really has been found when people tell other people about what they're hoping to accomplish, there is a higher likelihood that those goals actually will be reached. It's true. Now, along those lines, number three, be accountable to yourself. Make sure that you take time to review what you are hoping to get done and that you are, in fact, achieving those benchmarks. You need to reflect in on yourself and keep tabs of what you're doing. Being accountable to others is important, but be accountable to yourself as well. Number four, lighten up. Sometimes taking ourselves too seriously in everything we have to accomplish can make things so insurmountable and not able to be achieved. So be able to step back, lighten up, enjoy, laugh a little, and you'll see that those problems aren't as intense as you first thought. Number five, use a to-do list, but a limited one. Make a list. I always encourage this in my patients because what we see is that oftentimes we get so panicked and worried about having to accomplish things because we remember what we have to do in bits and pieces. They're random, and sometimes we forget things that we have to do. And in that, we get overwhelmed. By putting them in a list and going over, it takes all of our anxieties and worries about what we have to accomplish, and it makes them finite. So important. Number six, and I love this, choose instead of should. When we say we should have done that, could have done that, it takes the action, the power away from us. Simply choose to do it, not what you should do or ought to do. Number seven, focus on the how instead of the ifs. What ifs can really wreak havoc on your mind. Avoid that. Focusing on how to do your tasks is the most important. Number eight, get enthusiastic. And number nine, start small, but start. Start. Begin the process. No matter what, you have to take that first step. But you can do it. You absolutely can. Any one of us can. And you'll see, success will be there. All you have to do is believe and take action. You'll see it happen. And when you do, my goodness, now that is a wonderful first step to take down our road to the healthy mind. And now it's time for news. Okay. Now, to those of you who listen to the podcast regularly that have been on thehealthymind.com, you know that a big interest of mine is the overlap between emotions and the physical health of our bodies, the mind-body link. And really, a new study that had just come out of Brigham and Women's Hospital, the teaching hospital at Harvard, really illustrates this mind-body connection. The headline: chronic anxiety may make you age faster. Like we needed it to go any faster, right? Now, this new study showed that anxiety may actually accelerate aging in people on a molecular level. Now, we've all been there, right? No matter what the situation is, the stress, the anxiety, it feels like it ages us, especially when we've gone through something difficult. But how much of that is real biology going on? I mean, can anxiety, our emotions, really make us age faster? Now, what this group at Brigham and Women's Hospital did was show that a common form of anxiety known as phobic anxiety, and I'll describe that in a second, but phobic anxiety was associated with shorter telomeres. You know telomeres, right? Telomeres? I'll explain that too. But it showed that phobic anxiety resulted in shorter telomeres in middle-aged and older women. Okay, so before we go any further, two definitions. What is phobic anxiety? Phobic anxiety is that distress, that feeling of distress that occurs when we're thinking about a fear. The distress that we feel when we think about a fear, like the fear of public speaking or being in large crowds, something like that. And they showed that phobic anxiety is a possible risk factor for accelerated aging. But I also mentioned telomeres. What are telomeres? Well, what the telomeres are these little protein compounds, DNA protein compounds at the ends of our chromosomes, the genetic material in our body. And as our cells age, the telomeres within those cells are going to shorten in size. And what studies have shown, at least the latest research on aging, is that shortened telomeres may be a really predictive marker for aging and also longevity. And shortened telomeres have also been associated with an increased risk of health problems like cancers, heart disease, and dementia. Now, this was a really interesting study. The researchers obtained blood samples from over 5,000 women, and these women were aged between 42 years and 69 years of age. And in addition to that, they had them fill out questionnaires on anxiety. And what they found from all of this was having a high level of that phobic anxiety or stress was associated with significantly shorter telomere lengths. So having this anxiety literally changed the size and structure of the chromosomes. Okay, so what does this mean, though? What does this really have to do with aging? Well, the changes that the researchers found in the chromosomes, those telomeres, in those women with chronic anxiety were similar to the changes in women that were 6 years older than them. 6 years. In other words, chronic anxiety aged these women by an additional 6 years. It's like adding 6 years of aging to your life. The genetic material change, those telomeres shorten, and the shortening of those telomeres is what is thought to cause cells to age and to die. Now, according to one of the study authors, Dr. Olivia Okereke, quote, "Many people wonder about whether and how stress can make us age faster. So this study is notable for showing a connection between a common form of psychological stress, phobic anxiety, and a plausible mechanism for premature aging." End of quotes. Now, what's important to say here is they did not necessarily find a cause and effect relationship. Not sure if the anxiety caused the shortened telomeres, or maybe the shortened telomeres led to somehow the anxiety. Okay, it's not sure which came first, but it still is an important study. It's at the cutting edge of how we're understanding why and how we age, and really the importance here of stress and everything that I talk about here on the Healthy Mind, this mind-body connection. Our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings have huge impact, whether it is on emotional disorders, on chronic physical pain, and at least with regards to this study, chronic anxiety may lead to premature aging. The mind-body connection. All right, now, this next story. Oh my goodness, parents, listen up. The headline, "Attention parents, putting children first may ruin your health." Oh dear, this was a University of Mary Washington study. And researchers found that mothers whose lives revolve around their children are putting themselves, would you believe it, at greater risk for mental health problems. Now, what the researchers did was look at a style of parenting known as intensive parenting. And the researchers asked, does being an intense mother make women unhappy? Now, this work was done by Dr. Catherine Rizzo and her colleagues at the University of Mary Washington. Now, what is intensive parenting? And it's a style of parenting. There's a certain amount of qualities that are associated with it, and I'll go through them. Number one, it is felt in intensive parenting that mothers are the most necessary and capable parent, that parents' happiness is derived primarily from their children. It's also felt that parents should always provide for children with stimulating activities that aid in their development. And the parenting is more difficult than working, and parents should always sacrifice their needs for the needs of their child. So all of this together is what is known as intensive parenting. And we know it's been in the news. Certainly I've talked about it on a previous podcast. What is the effect of parenting on parents themselves, of raising children? Is it overall a very positive, encouraging, healthy process? Or some studies have even suggested that parents aren't as happy as those who are not parents. But at least in this particular study, of the women that they looked at who had a style of parenting that was known as intensive parenting, there's a significant amount of women who were depressed. It was almost a quarter, 23% had symptoms of depression. Now, when the levels of family support was taken into account, those mothers who believe that women are the essential parent were less satisfied with their lives. Now, according to the researchers, quote, "If intensive mothering is related to so many negative mental health outcomes, why do women do it? They may think it makes them better mothers, so they are willing to sacrifice their own mental health to enhance their children's cognitive, social, and emotional outcomes. In reality, intensive parenting may have the opposite effect on children from what parents intend." Now, the issue of parenting and mental health is a fairly controversial issue, and there's no doubt this particular study has raised some eyebrows. I'm not taking sides. I don't think that's the intent of this particular study, is to make a comment on parenting. But I think the important thing that we can take from the data, whether it has shown that parenting is very stressful or that parents, on the other hand, are perhaps happier than non-parents, there are challenges along the way. Just make sure, as parents, that you are monitoring your own emotional health and well-being, because that is what is critical, not only for you, but for your children as well. Now, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the remainder of the news headlines in a segment that I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline. New evidence for link between obesity and our circle of friends. A Loyola University study of high school students provides new evidence that a person's circle of friends may influence his or her weight. Students were more likely to gain weight if they had friends who were heavier than them, but they also were more likely to lose weight if their friends were leaner than they were. The next headline, and I wanted to stay with this theme of losing weight and obesity. The headline, "Want to lose weight? Keep a food journal, don't skip meals, and avoid going out to lunch." Women who want to lose weight should faithfully keep a food journal, avoid skipping meals, and eating in restaurants, especially at lunch, according to a new study from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. And finally, giving time can give you time. Many people these days, we know it, we're all there, feel a sense of time famine, never having enough time to do everything that you want to do. Well, a new study suggests that volunteering some of our limited time, giving it away, may actually increase our sense of unhurried leisure. Giving away some time, volunteering, opens you up. Something to think about in this hectic, hectic, fast-paced, out-of-control modern world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have done it again. You and I, we have made it to the end of yet another broadcast of The Healthy Mind. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. As always, the website, www.thehealthymind.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions you may have, comments, criticisms, anything, I want to hear from you. Thank you for sending those emails, and please keep them coming. The email, peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on The Healthy Mind.